Little room, little room, little room. If you need to move on out in the aisle belongs to you. Bring it down for me again. Ha! Now, when I count to three, Atlanta, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to clap like you're from Durham, North Carolina, outside the county line. How many don't have a problem giving God some praise with your hands? Here we go, Atlanta. One, two, three.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Enter into this word this morning. You would fill this place and every space of our hearts with your presence and your power and your glory. And Father, we thank you today that these persons present here in the sanctuary and those who are over in the fellowship hall, God, are here because you have so navigated their path that they would be in this place to give you the praise this day. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you for those of our brothers and sisters who are both from near and far, who are here, God, today on this Easter Sunday morning to say thank you for what Jesus has done in their lives, and then for what he is doing in their lives, and then more especially for what he will finally do in their lives. We say thank you now. Now, Lord, let the Holy Spirit in his perfect preaching, teaching, ministry minister to our hearts, each and every one individually and collectively, so when we shall have finished this worship service, we shall leave here rejoicing, giving you the praise, and then having power to practice the principles that we might receive the profit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Would that you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning. One of the joys of the Easter celebration is the fact that when we get here, Jesus has already risen. And so because he's already risen, and I am led of the Spirit of God this morning to deal with what he has done since he has risen. And it's a joy, but I think everyone, I don't care if you just a baby Baptist, can get up on Easter morning and say, early Sunday morning. You know what he did. What did he do? He got up. He rose. Any way you want to say it, you know that part. So since you know that part, let's get on and deal with what he's done after he got up. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to do. Turn to the first chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 1. And it reads as follows. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom
of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. But John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons, or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. For just a little while, let's go back to verse 3, and it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, resurrected to make a difference. Resurrected to make a difference. Here, as we look at this word before us today, brothers and sisters, it's so interesting as to see Jesus putting in place the purpose and the power of his resurrection. It's a wonderful thing as we trace back through the pages of antiquity and go to the birth of Jesus Christ and see how in the Immaculate Conception and the final birth process that all of this was done, prophesied of, planned, and provided by God. It's wonderful to see how they give sketches of his life as he grows up and as he develops, how he matures and grows in stature, and how he himself is then given the ministry that he has given to the world, and how for 3.5 years he did all sorts of miraculous and wonderful things pointing to the mission for him being here in the earth realm. Now, a whole lot of us are caught up, and most crowds today, when they gather, especially in a spiritual moving ministry of God, most folk are not there for Jesus, but they are there rather for the ministry of Jesus. In other words, they are there to receive that Jesus left for us to continue, which has to do with the healing ministry, which has to do with deliverance ministries, which has to do with help ministries, which has to do with all of those ministries that meet the needs in the natural realm. But very few folk gather just because they love Jesus and they're not looking for anything from him in a charismatic crowd. Well, one of the things you've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that God wants us to know that the ministry of miracles and blessings and all of the sort actually point back to the Messiah. They point back to the Lord. They point back to the Savior, so that one would have a working relationship and fellowship with Jesus. Jesus wants us to understand that he, the giver of the gifts, he is greater than the gifts. But too many of us put our emphasis on the gifts and we demote the giver of the gifts. And can I tell you, as long as your priority is in the gift or gifts, you will never have prosperity from the giver. This is the important thing that he wants us to understand, that he rose, he got up from that grave to do more than simply save your soul. The average saint, the average Christian, the average person who attends church is primarily saved, and that's all. Now, don't get me wrong, to be saved for some folk is enough. To be saved in some cases is all that some people want. But that was never ever the purpose for why Jesus died on Calvary and was resurrected for your total benefit. It was not just to save you, but it was to save you and to sanctify you and to empower you so that you would be able to live this life a victorious one. The reason why Jesus was resurrected, as he again had been prophesied would be done, he had been resurrected for a purpose, for a reason, and the reason was to make a difference in your life. Look at what the word says. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to what? To do. And what? and teach. Now again, the reference here, all of the word that is written in the book of the Lord, all of this God has given to us. And you'll notice Jesus Christ, everything he did, he taught. And everything he taught, he did. He reinforced the things in the earth realm so that by example they could see and they could hear or read or study for themselves. Now, what's the purpose of that? The purpose of that was to show us that he wanted us to mimic what he did in the earth realm. Amen. What are you talking about? Well, if we're going to continue to do and to teach what Jesus did and taught, we're going to have, first of all, a genuine relationship with him. Amen. Genuine relationship. Because when you have a genuine relationship with him, nobody has to make you say anything. Nobody will have to make you go anywhere. Nobody will have to twist your arms to give him praise. Nobody will twist your arms to have him to use you in his service. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about in the work of the Lord. No one will have to coerce you to do your part, because when you have a genuine relationship with him, your desire is to please him. Now, because we are still in the earth realm, we're in the flesh, we're in the natural, there are things tugging and pulling at us, and we have to continually, as Paul say, crucify the flesh so that we might live unto Christ. And I don't care how saved you are, and I don't care how sanctified you are, and how filled with the Holy Ghost you are, if you don't stay before his presence, you too are subject to the power of the enemy. Why do you think in the earth realm Jesus kept on getting a refilling of God's spirit within his inner man? He kept on being in an intimate place of fellowship, locking out everything and everybody, because it's essential to your Christian growth that you make time, set aside time to be in intimate fellowship with God. That's a time you've got to break away from your loved ones and the things you love to do and all of the different jobs you work, and you've got to make time and say, God, this time is for you. Amen. And then in that time, when you minister to God in prayer and praise, then he ministers to you through his word and his spirit. And then you'll know that your purpose, and you're going to see it in the text, is more than just to show up for some of us on Easter Sunday morning. And your purpose is more than being in a place just to be in a place, but your presence in the place is to connect with your brothers and sisters who are about worshiping and praising God. Some of us here showed up just to show out. You might as well be real about it. And the reason I know that is because, again, many of us will not be seen until the next major day in our lives. And, of course, that's Mother's Day. We will show up for Jesus and Mother at Easter and Mother's Day. And we might catch him at Christmas. But beyond that, that's as far as our responsibility for most of us go. Now, let me tell you why it's so important that you know that you're not here by accident. Because God knew you would be here today. And there are many of you here today that don't know that he was resurrected to make a difference in your life. A full difference, a complete difference, a total difference. But you have got to surrender and submit your will to do that. Listen to what the word says. It says, verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. This is after the resurrection experience, that Easter Sunday morning. After his passion, by many infallible proofs. Listen at this, unmistakable proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, can I tell you what he did when he got up from the grave? He didn't go back to the Calvary experience, because Calvary was behind him then. What he walked around 40 days speaking to the people of God about were the things that were pertaining to the kingdom of God and the people of God and the purpose of God and the power of God, so that the people of God might know that God desires them to walk in total victory. He went around preaching for 40 days. Listen, I am alive, and because I am alive, you shall be alive. You shall have access to the Father. You shall be able to access the power that I am presently using in the earth realm. And so everything that Jesus did, he did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why our lives are so dull and boring, and many of us are today just bland Christians. We only get off on excitement. We only get off on people who are excited. But we don't have nothing that has excited us on the inside. We've got to light up on somebody else's fire. We've got to catch somebody else's spark. Where is your spark this morning? Where is your light? He said, we are the light of the... Where is your light this morning? Some of us can't see till somebody else lights up. And then we see the brightness of Jesus in them. And then we can see the purpose of life. But look at this. I want you to see this word. Because the Bible says, again, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He's bringing back to that remembrance. We've talked about this, that God's going to give you some power. And I want to say this to the saints of God. This is a past tense experience with present practical realities. What he has given as a principle to the apostles, it is present today for the believers. In other words, if you were and you are outside of the Holy Spirit, just like those apostles who were in the upper room, they were saved, but they didn't have no spirit in them. Saved, no power in them. Saved and couldn't open their mouth up for the Lord. Saved, and yet they were sad in their fellowship. Now listen, you know the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's a personal thing. I look at some saints on Sunday mornings and I don't see any joy, no time. And it saddens my heart, because I sit there and I see them and I know that they don't have to leave the same way they came. I don't care what's bothering. Listen, the joy God has given us, listen, the peace that God has given us, all of those things pass beyond the comprehension of men. He gives you while you're going through, not when you get out of. He gives you joy while the storm is raging all around you. He gives you peace while people are trying to pick you apart and destroy you. He gives you power to stand when others have fallen. He does this right in the midst. So I don't care what's going on in your life, you ought to just have some joy. Listen, you know why you ought to have it? Because it don't come from you. It comes to you through Jesus Christ and the power of his spirit. And one of the reasons I thank God for the word today is because the saints must understand that beyond shouting, he got up, he rose, and he lives, is the fact that he has done so to make a difference. And all of us can shout that joyous celebration on Easter Sunday, but what about Monday? When you get back to work and you ain't got your Easter best on. What about Monday when you ain't in the midst of a whole lot of believers? What about Monday when you go back to that job that you can't stand and probably can't stand you? What happens on Monday when you have to deal with the difficulties of paying bills and having to go back to your own realities? What happens on Monday? You ought to have the same joy you had on Sunday if it's real underneath the skin. But can I tell you what a whole lot of you are like? You are like the brothers on the street that have the Habu religion. You know what the Habu religion, H-A-B-U?
No.
That's the hook a brother up religion. Somebody ought to hear me. Look, I stopped at one of our stores in between our churches, and I went in the store, and the brother was just a little further down from the opening of the door, and he was in a very suspicious kind of demeanor at the time, and And I made sure my car was locked. I usually don't do it. I just run on in and come on out, but I clicked the button, made sure it was locked. Walked on in, and I got my little purchase and came on out, and brother said, hey, bro, hey, come here. And I said, excuse me? You know? He said, come here, man, come here, come here. So I said, come on over here. I'm getting in my car. Come on over here. Huh? And if you're going to have to do something, you're going to have to do it right there. You ain't going to pull me to the corner nowhere. Huh? And God give me a little sense here. Huh? And you know how they do you. Man, you looking good, man. You looking good, bro. Yeah, man, that's a nice ride you're riding him. Hey, bro, can you hook a brother up? Excuse me, what are you talking about? Bro, you got to change on your man. And I'm like, listen, I ain't got time for this food. Here, brother, here's a dollar. Look, man, hey, you looking good, bro. Thanks for hooking a brother up there, brother. And he had nothing else more to say to me, but all he wanted was a hookup. And on Sunday mornings, a whole lot of you are just like a bunch of hookup brothers. Can you, Jesus? I ain't gonna be here for a little while, but can you hook a brother up so I can make it through the week? I ain't coming to Bible study. I ain't coming to prayer service. I ain't gonna be out to church school. I ain't coming to Sunday school. But while I'm here, can you hook? Come on, help me somebody. Listen, Jesus don't want to hook you up. He wants to connect you with the source that never runs dry. He wants to give you some power to lead you into a whole nother arena. He wants to give you something that when you speak, men will listen, and that comes from the Holy Ghost. Listen at the text. Listen. The Bible says, listen. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. You want to hook up? No. God will give you a connection with the Holy Ghost. There is a difference, I might tell you. Because Jesus wanted them to know, I'm not about something temporary, something partial, something piecemeal. I want you to have it and have it more abundantly. And that's that power that lives on the inside of you, that power that invigorates you, that gives you vigor, vim, and vitality, that makes you get up and say, good morning, Lord, instead of saying, Lord, it's morning. It's that kind of power that gives you something to look beyond your present circumstances. Look at what the Bible says, and I want you to see, it says, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, they were already baptized with water, as many of us have already been. But you got to go deeper than the water. The water was a symbol of what Jesus did for us. He died and was buried, but he rose. You go down in the water, that symbolizes the burial of Jesus. You come up out of the water, that symbolizes the resurrection of Jesus. But what do you do after you get out the water? There is another baptism. Another baptism that you have got to have in order to walk in power. Now look at what Jesus has said. These men have already been baptized concerning their sins unto repentance. They've already had the water baptism. So it's got to be more than just water baptism that gets you in that place where God wants you to be. But look at Jesus talking. Not many days hence, speaking about 50 days from, or at this point in time, this was the 40th day, so it would be 10 days later, the Holy Ghost was going to come, and he was going to baptize them in his power. Now look at this word, because the Bible says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now listen at this now. They are talking about the temporal kingdom, the earthly kingdom, when Jesus was talking about the spiritual kingdom. He was talking about kingdom business, but he was talking about supernatural and spiritual kingdom business, and not that of the natural kingdom building and business that the Israelites were concerned about. They just wanted to be back in power. They just wanted to be back on top. They just wanted to be back in charge, but they did not want to be back in the right graces and places with God. And that's what Jesus had come to do, to put them back in their right place and their right space with God. Listen to what the word says. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or, listen, the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. There are just some things God's not going to tell you when he's going to do it. There are some things that God's going to straighten out. He's going to straighten up. He's going to get rid of, he's going to build up, he's going to tear down, but there are just some things he's going to do. He ain't going to tell you when he's going to do them. And you know why? Because you will then focus on the things that may be in God's timing. Well, it is in God's timing already set, but you will lose time waiting on that thing when Jesus has already told you to occupy till I come. If he told you I'm going to do this at that certain day and time, many of us would wait until that time to get busy. God wants us to focus daily on what he has called us, and you're going to see what it's all about. And that's when the resurrection experience will be real in your heart and in your life. And it won't just be a Sunday morning dress-up service, but it'll be something that's real on the inside. Look at what he says. But ye shall receive power. You're going to get it. And that's something for the saint to know, because this reality is for every believer. But ye shall receive power. Now, you're going to get the power, but can I tell you, you will not be able to profit until you receive the power. Hallelujah. You won't be able to function until you receive the power. Yeah. You won't be able to flow until you receive the power, because it is the power that will make the difference in your life. Hallelujah. Who knows phraseology better than us? You know the right ways to say it? And the dance don't have to be holy, it can be practiced. I mean, come on, be real here. You ain't got to be in the spirit to do a church dance. You can just watch Sister So-and-so long enough and pick up that move. Hey. You get at home and practice on that thing. It ain't got to be no Holy Ghost. I wish I had some witnesses here. You know, you don't lift up the hands all the time because the Spirit of God has entered you and it's a spirit of praise. You lift them up because it just looks good sometimes. Or you just want to get a little exercise. You know, it ain't always spirit motivated. Y'all ought to hear me here. You clap sometime, but it ain't because there is a melody in your heart and it's because you are in sync with the words and the spirit. It's because it's a beat. I don't care who you are and what language you speak, you can get the beat there when you don't even understand what they're saying. It's got to be more than those temporal things. It's got to be something underneath the skin that actually ministers to you, for you to minister back to God. But look at what the word says. But ye shall. Somebody say shall. He's talking about his people now. He's talking about the believers. You might not have it right now, but ye shall. If you will open up your heart and open up your ears and open up your spirit, ye shall. Listen at this. Receive power. That means that it's not already automatically in you. It has to be given to you. But ye shall receive. But now that means if you're going to receive it, that means you've got to be receptive. See, because the power, let me tell you, from God's point of view, is already extended to you. But look at what the word says. But ye shall. If somebody is extending a gift to you, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to receive it. The gift of the Holy Ghost is just that, a gift. Now, here's what you got to know. You don't have to be what you think you need to be to receive the gift of God in this capacity. It belongs to the saved, to those who are born again. Listen, it's not your righteousness and your self-righteousness and your holiness and your all of that. It is what Jesus has done for you with his blood, purchased through his life on Calvary, and that he has done is done and it is final. If you are a believer, then you are a receiver of the gifts of God. All you have to do is say, Lord, I receive it. And some of us think that we've got to do more than that. And that's where the enemy has fooled us and hoodwinked us. Think we've got to be a part of a certain denomination to receive the power and the authority with the evidence of tongue speaking. Can I tell you, folk tell you that's passed away? If that's passed away, then the Holy Ghost has passed away. If the Holy Ghost has passed away, then that means our opportunity of being sustained and empowered has passed away. If that has passed away, that means that the Calvary experience was not what it was all cracked up to be. And if that's not what it ought to be, that means that we're still on our way to hell. So we might as well enjoy the journey.